Proverbs 31, verses 12 to 26. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She's like the merchant ships bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it is still night. She provides food for her family and portions for her female servants. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. She sees that her trading is profitable, and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them, and supplies the merchants with sashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue.
Who might these words be describing? What was that?
A wife.
A wife? Yep. It's interesting, isn't it? Who is good? Who has worked and provided and given food? Who is strong? Who opens their arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy? Who takes their seat in the rightful place and invites others to join them? Who is strength and dignity? Who speaks with wisdom and faithful instruction? So this morning we come to end our series in Proverbs. Proverbs is from the wisdom literature. As you know, there's a number of books. And if you take Proverbs in isolation, you're going to miss the point, because Proverbs says, if you do this, everything will turn out right. And Ecclesiastes says it won't, however, still do it. Do you know what I mean? And so you need to take this in the context of all the wisdom literature. We have been reminded that wisdom is a person who is divine, who is personified in Jesus Christ, the person we have to put on and hold on tight to like a life jacket and a rescue ring in a world where there are rough seas, when a world sometimes we feel like we are drowning. And so far from wisdom, from certainly from 1 to 9 and now in 31, what we're looking at is we've been encouraged to accept wisdom. We've been encouraged to store up wisdom. We've begun to turn towards and apply wisdom, to call out to her and look and search for Lady Wisdom. We are to listen to wisdom and follow her path in every area of our lives, whether that be the way we relate to others. Is that the path that you're walking on? A path of wisdom, how you relate to others. Is the path you're walking on, how you deal with your finances, one of wisdom? Wisdom according to scripture, not maybe your financial advisors. It even talks about how much we should drink. It tells us how we are to speak, and David talked about that the other week, and the way we are to treat our neighbors, and I think Andy talked about it. It's just the way of life in every aspect of our lives. And so in short, to remember, Paul in Corinthians encourages us to pursue, to go after, embrace the spiritual gifts. What we're getting in Proverbs is encouraging us to pursue, to go after, to embrace wisdom as a way of life. And the reason for doing that, they say, because is the rewards are immense. If you don't follow the foolish path, if you follow the path of wisdom, what you end up is with knowledge. You end up with understanding. You end up with guidance. You end up with life and well-being. You end up with peace and sound sleep. You end up with pleasure to your soul and blessings, protection from evil and ruin. And you end up with honor and reputation. What it basically does is wisdom enables you to understand God's creation and what you were created to be and do, so that you're not fighting against what creation was created for. And as we know, repeatedly, the fear, the awe, the reverence of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So how does the writer of Proverbs say, right, I'm coming to the end of all these Proverbs. What am I going to do to round off this whole book? How am I going to put it in such a way that it finishes this book well? And so we have the context. And I do wonder, especially from responses I've had so far, and I have done a little survey as I've gone round, you know, what teaching have you had on Proverbs 31 before? You know, David's clearly read this on Mothering Sunday. You know, other people have, you know, maybe heard it, you know, when they've been looking for a wife, a suitable wife. You know, maybe that is the teaching that we have had before, because maybe this is the actual call of a godly Christian woman to do everything written in Proverbs 31. But is that really what the content is saying? Is that really the whole point of this? Because remember, this is poetry. This is poetry. And if you actually look at the Hebrew, it's an acrostic poem. So in Hebrew, it starts from the first letter of the alphabet and ends in the other. In other words, I'm just thinking of things that can actually make a really nice poem. This is not narrative. This is not wives. You have to do all of this. That's not poetry. I mean, Jenny, you know that you've done that so many times. When you study poetry, it's not literal. This is trying to give you an understanding of something, and particularly in the way that it has been written. You know, the structure of every book of the Bible is genius. You know, and the idea is when you look at a chapter, look at it in the context of the book. What's the book saying? Because you know the nightmare that it is if you take a verse out of context. But then also, don't take it out of context. Put it in the whole biblical story. Because if we take something out of context, it really can do more harm than good. So Proverbs 31, women, or wives, that excludes me, so I don't have to be like this woman. I read an article of this lady who basically tried to do everything that this woman did. It is utterly impossible. You are setting yourselves up to fail if you think that's what this passage is about. I mean, let's do a real simple one. Verse 15 says they get up early. And verse 18 says her lamp does not go out at night. Basically, this is someone who does not sleep. This cannot be about a human person. This is about a divine person who does not sleep. And so thus, I would like to show you this morning that this passage is more about the excitement, the incarnation, the recognition when wisdom itself comes, than the impossible tasks set for Christian women. You see, chapters 1 to 9 are all about Lady Wisdom. And chapters 31 actually is a lot of repetition of chapters 1 to 9. So the beginning of 31, remember, we're still looking at the context. At the beginning of 31, this is a saying to the son. We didn't read this. You have pursued wisdom. All right? So I've taught you from chapters 1 to 30, you're to pursue wisdom. Now you are to have the image of being married to wisdom. You're not just to pursue wisdom. You are to have a picture of an ongoing, committed relationship or union with wisdom. That culmination, she's calling out to you. Pursue her. Listen to her. Listen to her rebukes. And finally, hey, come into union with wisdom. So what I'm going to show you today is that Lady Wisdom from chapters 1 to 9 is the same lady we're talking about in chapters 31. I'm just going to give you a few examples. So Lady Wisdom in Proverbs 1 to 9 was more precious than jewels. And we sang about that today. That's a song made from Proverbs 1 to 9. And in 3:15 and 8:11, that is where Lady Wisdom is more precious than jewels. Again, in Proverbs 31:10. In Lady Wisdom, she does good. Proverbs 2:20. Proverbs 31:12, active hands that offer life. Proverbs 3:16, Proverbs 31:13, 18, and 19. She provides food, is what Proverbs 9 covers, and Proverbs 31:14-16. Provides for her family, 8:22, and then Proverbs 31:18-24. Lady Wisdom is strength, and you'll find that in 8:11 and also in verse 25. Voice of Wisdom, 1:8-9, Proverbs 31:26, and works at the gates, Proverbs 8:34-35, and Proverbs 31. It's like bookends again. Do you know what I mean? This is what Lady Wisdom is, and this is Lady Wisdom when you come into union with her. Can you see what the writer of Proverbs is trying to do? He's not saying these are the impossible standards that you must drive yourself towards as a wife. Wisdom is seeking and calling. Remember the simple, the foolish, those who are humble enough to recognize the path that they are walking on is not one of wisdom, but one of folly. She is calling out to us. And at the end, this is a description yet again of Lady Wisdom. I am not saying that Lady Wisdom is Jesus, but her personified qualities drive us to Jesus incarnate. Jesus in reality is the wisdom of God. And I'm pretty sure Paul was thinking of Proverbs 31 when he had this in mind when he was talking to the Corinthian church. Listen to what he says. He says, has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? Isn't that not a summary of half of Proverbs? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him. God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand signs and Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles, but to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. How does Paul recognize it? Because Lady Wisdom is described in chapters 1 to 9. She's summarized in chapter 31, and he's like, oh my goodness, Christ is the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. It is because of God that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Wisdom in Proverbs 31 is personified in Jesus incarnated. Wisdom has come bringing the way of life, the pathway of hope for sinners and fools. Don't be offended, but sinners and fools like you and me. Remember we sang rejoice, rejoice. Emmanuel has come. Wisdom has come. Jesus has come. And Proverbs 31 talks about the impact of wisdom. Of Lady Wisdom from chapters 1 to 9, and very similar to this union with wisdom, like being married to wisdom. It talks about the full beauty of wisdom. It talks about the attractiveness of wisdom. It talks about the productivity and impact of wisdom on families and communities. I mean, seriously, can you imagine that if wisdom, as we have studied in Proverbs, was how the parish council ran this place, was how West Sussex County Council ran West Sussex education and the NHS service, can you imagine if our government was in union with Lady Wisdom. It would have a huge, huge impact. But even us as individuals and as the body of Christ in Pulborough and the surrounding villages, we can have an impact that is beautiful, that is attractive, that is productive, and affects for good the families and communities that we live in. I'm proposing this morning, this is not a list for women to aspire to or to imitate, because that is crippling. Nor am I proposing that this is a list for men to look for when they're thinking about who to marry. Wisdom here is personified as a wife you commit yourself to for life. Wisdom is who you hold on to, who you live in union with. Can you see how it's culminated in not just pursue, but actually be in union with wisdom? So let's conclude. Wisdom holds out her hand to you this morning, as does Jesus hold out his hand to you, like a hand in marriage. And just like Lady Wisdom, Jesus would say of himself that he came to seek and to save the lost, the simple and the fools. Just like Lady Wisdom, Jesus, who came and extended his hands to the needy and poor, offering all rescue and salvation, deliverance from evil, those things that oppress us and that evil that lurks around. Jesus, who holds out his hand and offers us eternal life. And Jesus is the one who hands, bled and died to offer us forgiveness for all we have done and said wrong. He offers us to take his hand and join him in God's kingdom through the work of the Holy Spirit. And just like Lady Wisdom, Jesus clothes us. He clothes us in garments of salvation and robes of righteousness, as well as the armor of God and the armor of light. Jesus, whose strength and dignity set him apart as holy and mighty. Jesus, who invites us to take our seat next to him, seated in heavenly realms. And Jesus, who speaks wisdom and always gives faithful instructions. Just like Lady Wisdom and the wife from Proverbs 1 to 9 and Proverbs 31. Jesus is the one who makes God known to us, not in poetry, but in personhood. Like Thomas, is the Lord saying to you this morning, stop doubting, see my hands, see what I am offering to you, and believe, trust in, rely on me in every area of your life, whether that's your finances, your home, your workplace, your relationships, the relationship with your spouse, with your family, within the community. He is holding out his hand to you to trust and rely on Jesus. Will you receive his hand of life? Maybe for the first time, or maybe in an area that the Lord is highlighting to you. And just as Colin testified to me earlier, this hand can be clung to in times of turmoil and suffering and pain and grief. This hand of Jesus can be clung to as well in times of hope and joy and celebration. This is also the hand from Jesus that will guide you and lead you safely home when your time on earth has finished. How are you living in union with wisdom in every
area of your life. Let's pray. Father God, you are Almighty God. I thank you that you have sent your Son, Jesus, incarnate to rescue and to save us, to show us the path of wisdom, to actually demonstrate what divine wisdom is like, is personified. Lord, forgive us for the times that we have been foolish, for the times that we've wandered along the path of foolishness in different areas of our lives. Help us, lead us, guide us, let us hold your hand and walk with you on the paths of wisdom. Lord, we welcome wisdom. We invite wisdom. We call out to wisdom. We pursue wisdom. We invite wisdom to be in union with us this morning. Thank you, Lord. Amen.